be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
Kids safe, mother approved. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Welcome to Runway Role Models, proof that there are still some amazing people out there who are making a difference. Now, here is your host.
Thank you. Welcome to the program on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Cassie Frazier, and our topic today is Runway Role Models. It is imperative in today's society to emphasize the importance of being a great role model. While we hear about in the media and our so-called role models are getting arrested for drunk driving or abusing drugs, we start to see how young girls are striving for great role models. There are many ways that young girls look at great role models. Some may think it's because they are actresses, singers, or dancers, but role models can be simply girls who just do the right thing by helping others. Let me tell you exactly what I mean. I've been finding ways to educate others and bring awareness to the issue of the necessary of leaders and role models in today's world. One way I have found is to get into the community and be seen and heard. Volunteering is a great way of showing you care, and what a great way to bring the attention of a role model and a leader. As the rate of volunteering has increased to 26.8%, which is 4% more than last year, I've began to realize how it is not a number that we should be proud of, since in reality, we have more than 310 million people in the United States. When I had the title of Miss America's National Teenager, I was able to combine my leadership skills and my ability as a role model to other outlets in the community so that I could bring awareness and create more volunteers. I volunteer with Teens Caring for the Cause, Sidewalk Angels, Save the Music, Maggie's Place, the Red Cross, and Project Radiate, just to name a few. I've used social media, as such as my TV segments, as a way to spread the word on how you can be a great role model. I love using those outlets to give recognition to young women striving to be leaders and role models in today's world. My plan is to help with developing young girls and start them on their way to succeed as a role model and a leader. I will continue to walk in parades, but not because I had a crown on my head. I would do it for a cause to help others, so that others would follow in my footsteps to do the right thing by helping. Another one of my plans to help with awareness for my platform is to work closer with an organization, Project Radiate. It is designed for girls starting at the age of 15 who are in need of basic everyday cosmetics, from toothbrushes to makeup. I go into schools and do appearances to have donation boxes set out for everyone who wants to donate items they can have or bought for this cause. I show them they can go out to the community and help others with the cause. If you would like to be a part of Project Radiate, you can go on Facebook and visit them and see what it's all about. Putting myself into this type of situation has allowed me to show not only the importance of volunteering my time, but the way I present myself as a leader and confident role model. As I move forward in my platform, from my generation to the next, I feel that an organization like Miss Arizona's National Teenager was such a great fit for me to conquer such a challenging goal. When that title was awarded to me, I was striving for the next level, not only to get my word out locally, but to the nation. I may be small, but my actions are bigger than these so-called famous people in our world today. I'm a great leader and role model in today's society and work every day to help develop more role models. Why? I decide to call my show Runway Role Models. So now we're taking center stage in indie films in Phoenix, Arizona, is award-winning actress and producer, not to mention my role model, Kimber Lee. I've asked Kimber to be here today. She's such a great role model and leader in the movie industry. Welcome, Kimber. I'm so excited that you're here. Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, Cassie, what you just spoke, this is wonderful, and I am so honored to be sitting next to you.
Thank you so much. I met Kimber, actually, at an event we were doing together, Catwalk for a Cause.
Yes, so, yes, absolutely.
We sat down, and we started talking, and all your words were very inspirational, so much, and I thanked you so much. I went home, and I couldn't even sleep. I was like, Mom, Kimber's such an amazing person. I love her so much, and I feel like I've known her forever, even though I just met you that night.
I absolutely feel the same. I remember that moment that we sat at the table. I don't really remember that what I said to you, but I see in your eyes and your passion is just incredible for what you're doing. And after hearing your reasons for doing it, you are so right, because we are lacking in the avenue of role models for society. For you to be at your young age and to want to help other girls is just an amazing accomplishment.
Thank you. So I remember someone told me that you don't really open up to some people, and I got the honor for you to open up to me. So I'm just going to ask you a few questions. You know, you don't have to answer them, obviously. I wrote them up so that I don't forget everything that I want to ask this amazing person before me. One of your quotes is, you make films because you are passionate about art.
Absolutely. It all started with my brother, who is a very wonderful comedian magician. He's won the Merlin Award for the decade and won it several times throughout his career. My brother is an amazing artist because magicians are sleight of hand, and they create all of their own work. It is nothing that you can study it, but you have to be good at it. He plays an instrument, he paints.
That's so cool.
And watching him growing up, I can't paint. I can't play an instrument.
I can't paint either. In art class, I had to take an art class, and I'm just like, oh goodness, my best friend is, you know, drawing all this great stuff and painting, and I'm just like, I'll be good if I have, you know, even a straight circle or a straight line on the page.
That's cute. And so when my brother would share all of his artistic abilities with me, I felt less than in that arena. And I am a Libra, and Libras are supposedly by nature creatures of art. So I said to myself, well, how can that be? Am I a misfit? So I decided at a very young age to look into that at some point down the line in my life. And I watched my brother. I emulated after him. I realized that my strength would probably be in the arena of filmmaking. I didn't know how or what would be and how to get there, but I just put one foot in front of the other. And with each accomplishment, just kept going. So the passion for art is the art of filmmaking, and filmmaking is like painting. And drawing, because you put it all together.
Exactly. That's so cool. So a little family history. So where were you born?
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh my goodness, that's
And
so
I'm
cool.
a Steeler fan.
Oh, so the Super Bowl, obviously. You're going to go for this.
I am a Steeler lady. And
oh my goodness.
If you like it and you want to put a ring on it.
I again. Love the Steelers. My whole family's going for the Packers. And I'm just like, nope, going for the Steelers.
Well, actually, I think the coach of the Packers was from Pittsburgh.
Really?
He's, I believe, from a neighborhood. I lived in Squirrel Hill.
Oh, my gosh.
And
so
he's
cool.
from Greenfield, which was a few blocks away.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. Where did, like you said, you lived in Pennsylvania when you were younger. So when did you move to Arizona?
In 1983.
Wow. And why did you move here?
I had... there were some things in my life that happened. I had two brothers pass away.
I believe
at the time I thought I was running away.
Okay, I understand.
To get away from a past. But however, went to Arizona. And anybody that's from Pittsburgh goes to Arizona. It's a complete, definite change. So that was the reason for moving.
Oh, okay. Tell us a little bit about your family. Your siblings, do you still have them, or any children?
I have. I come from a family of three brothers. Two have passed away. My older brother, who is the magician, Paul Kozak, and I have very little family left in Pittsburgh. My father just passed away 3 months ago, and we are. What I often joke that if we wanted to have a family reunion, we could either have it at the cemetery or a phone booth.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it's very small. But it is okay because family doesn't have to be your, you know, immediate family. Mm-hmm. I've been blessed with the opportunity to have those people replaced by the film community.
Awesome. Okay, so when you were little, what were some of the things that you loved doing? Obviously, you said your brother was a painter and a musician, mm-hmm. so what did you do for fun?
I was a cheerleader when I was younger, mm-hmm. and I went to Catholic school, so I was very involved in the church as mm-hmm. a young girl. So that's where I believe a lot of my spiritual mm-hmm. background came from.
So what did you really wanted to be when you were older?
I knew at the age of 5 that I was going to be a flight attendant.
Really?
So I had asked my mom to get a book so mm-hmm. I could learn. Of course, I'm too young at the age of 5.
Right.
But around the age of 12, I got that book and I read it. And the book back then, I wouldn't have qualified
right.
to be a flight attendant because you had to be a nurse and I didn't want to be a nurse.
Right.
So I kind of put the dream in the back of my head.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. That's really cool that you got to pursue your dream, though, as also being a flight attendant / actress.
So, yeah, absolutely.
We're going to get more into your film life now.
Okay.
Right? So I read an article on My Tech Life magazine.
Okay.
I saw the article about you, so I took some of the questions that I would really love to elaborate on. Tell us a little bit about your films, To Some Degree, Collapse, and Copper.
Two of them were film shorts that I produced, and one of them was the idea of director Bavas Biswas. Two of the films were about the decline in the economy, and I felt it important to reach society to show them what was happening when the housing market collapsed.
Tell us a little bit about Copper.
Okay, Copper was a fabulous story. It was about me finding a penny on the ground, believe it or not. Mm. I had talked to a person that was very knowledgeable about life, and I was going through a phase of not moving forward in the film industry, and they told me that if somebody gave you a penny is very significant, because if you're trying to make $1 million and you have a penny, you need that first one to start the count to the million. But you also need that last penny to complete that $1 million. Right. So if you're walking on the sidewalk and you see a penny, do you ever pick it up? And I said, not if it's heads down. And
exactly.
And he said, that's when he explained to me, but because of a superstition, you leave it there. Well, these pennies are signs from the universe and from angels to pick it up and be grateful when you pick it up, because the universe doesn't know the difference between a penny or $1 million. So it is a gift.
That's amazing.
And so I decided to write a story about that gift.
Well, thank you so much. Let's take a break. I'm Cassie Frazier. Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Stay connected.
Sign up for our newsletter.
Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iradioblog.com. Kids these days are so connected to the media that they can't help but be surrounded by news and politics. Today's kids get more information than kids of past generations, and because of that, they have more informed opinions. Kids today may not be able to vote yet, but they can certainly influence voters and issues with their voices. Tune in every week for America Today and talk about the issues and influence the decision makers. America Today airs every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
Now there's a new destination for video content, VoiceAmerica.tv, just like our radio channels and so much more. Voice America Variety, Health and Wellness, Business, Sports, Green Talk, Power Up Motorsports, and Seventh Wave Network now have their own video channel components. Plus, check out exclusive programming, including movies, music, educational courses, science and history, current events, and short features. High-definition, premier-quality programs available 24/7. VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Behind the Line is all about the inside of sports from a kid's point of view. This is a look at all of the action from behind the line. Join your host every Wednesday at 3 p.m., whether you're a kid or was a kid at some time in your life. We'll run down all of the scores, talk about the games of the past week, and preview what's coming up in the next week. You'll want to take notes because this is good stuff. The place to be Wednesdays at 3, that's 6 p.m. Eastern, is the Voice America Kids channel for Behind the Line. Want to laugh yourself silly over the crazy happenings of the celeb world and beyond? Tune in to Behind the Mask on Voice America Kids. Your hosts will uncover the celebrities you know and love, along with some that you might not know in this country, but they are admired across the world. But it's not just the famous that need to look out. We'll look inside the music biz, stage, and of course, the big screen. Listen to Behind the Mask every Thursday at 8 p.m. on Broadway and 5 p.m. Hollywood side on the Voice America Kids channel.
You're listening to Voice America Kids, now with 33% more active ingredients and no artificial coloring.
This is Runway Role Models, a look at people who are making a difference now and setting an example for our future. Now, back to our show.
Thank you. Welcome back to the program on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Cassie Frazier, and today I have in the studio Kimber. Kimber, we're going to sort of re-talk about your films, Copper, mm-hmm. and to some degree, in Collapse.
Okay, and we left off with Copper.
Mm-hmm.
And so the basis of the film short, I've also, again, felt it very important to reach out to people that have signs they are shown all day long and that they are being guided by God, and that it was a way to just touch people. I'm just one of these really touchy mm-hmm. people with my films, because I don't want to make a film for the sake of making it. It's very important that it sends a message, or somebody can feel like that happened to them and they're involved in that film. So Copper was really about believing, and this penny, this little girl picks it up and looks at it and puts it in her hand and closes it, and she really, really believes. You'll have to watch it. It's just, it went all the way to the Phoenix Film Festival. It's very hard to get in that festival.
Right.
The film is very personal to me because of what my grandfather had told me. And I had a choice to believe what he told me or to listen to everybody else that told me not to believe. And so the significance of Copper, the message in Copper, is to believe.
That's amazing. I really want to see Copper now. We have to go sit down and watch it together.
You can come to my house. We'll watch
awesome.
It.
So... obviously, before, like we said, before you were an actress, you were a flight attendant. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about it, you know, like the pros and the cons and everything that went with it.
My whole life has just been so amazing, because I wasn't really even to be a flight attendant. Someone else had sent in my application. And at the time in 1983, America West was just starting out. I was told that I had been submitted on an application for America West, which then I was just like, oh my gosh. And it was so important that I had to be in class one. I had to be in that first group, because it's very important to be a leader, mm-hmm. not a follower in my own personal life. So I got a letter from them saying I didn't make the first class, and I was completely devastated because how can that be? You know, I prayed about it, and mm-hmm. I didn't send it in. And
right.
So how can this be? And for about a week and a half, I was completely devastated. Ironically, I received a phone call that four people had flunked their back exams because you had to be able to lift 50 pounds. And because they flunked their back exams, would I still be interested in being in group one? And
wow.
It's such an amazing journey, even from that whole career. So I got accepted. I used to rent a house from the gentleman that was the CEO of America West. And before he even had the airline, he used to come and mow the lawn that I rented the house from him with. And he used to tell me he was going to own his own airline. And I'm like, I'm going to be a famous actor.
Okay.
So when I went to the orientation for flight attendants, when I got the call, the amazing call, sure enough, standing before me was Ed Beauvais.
Wow.
CEO and chairman of America West Airlines. And when that moment resonated with me like no other, because here is, again, a person that believed and had a dream and stood before me. And
that's amazing. That's such an amazing story. You always are filled with just amazing stories.
I'm blessed, yes.
Okay, so obviously, why did you have a career change? Because you are no longer a flight attendant.
September 11th happened, and my route was New York and back in the same day. I went from Phoenix to New York and back, so it was about a 13-hour day.
Wow.
I was number six on seniority, so I pick and chose my routes. New York is a fascinating place. I used to do overnights, but I realized that I had this secondary dream in my heart to become an actress. And I simultaneously, while being a flight attendant, went into the acting business. So I realized that I could no longer do overnights. I had to do turnarounds so I could be back in my city to go on auditions, etc. So I was doing these turnarounds, and I had a dry run hijacking. I got injured and was at home when September 11th happened. And it did something inside of me. It, to this day, to describe what it did to me, because everything that I do, I put myself into it. That's where passion comes from. And it sort of killed that passion for me. So I decided not to go back. And that was very brave decision. My family thought, my father was very upset with me because I did not go back. But they did give me my flight benefits, and I travel now. So it allowed me to pursue acting.
I could never be a flight attendant. I'm so scared. Like, even when I pass the airport, my stomach gets sick, and I'm like, oh, because there's people on the plane. We were just talking about it in the car. My mom's like, Cassie, don't you love flying or driving? I was like, driving. I could never fly all the time. And then those people that are the airline people, flight attendants, oh, I give props to you. I could never do that.
Well, let me share this with you. I also have a fear of flying.
Are you serious?
That is what made me become a good actor, I believe, because being on the plane, I was the first class flight attendant. I was the one that had to make everybody else feel comfortable, and I was scared inside. So to be, that's your stage, and that's where you learn how to be a good actor.
There you go. So which one do you like more, being a flight attendant or being an actress slash producer?
I love being a flight attendant because that, I told you, that was my stage.
Right.
I was in front of people. That's like live theater for me. And I love people. I just, it was, I had the most amazing life. I flew the Princess of Saudi Arabia and her, all of her children. Each one of them was a boy. And I think there were seven or eight of them. I flew all the sports charters, football, basketball, baseball, hockey. I flew dignitaries and movie stars, and my life was just amazing. And these people were put in front of me daily, and it taught me a lot about the world. I could see the world firsthand. So there isn't anything on this planet, I think, that would be any better than that.
Right. That's so cool that you got to meet all those different types of people and you got to be with them, you know, because obviously you're up in the air. I'd be scared out of my mind. When you, let's go back and say when you started your career as an actress, you were on a bus and you saw a newspaper. What was the ad and why did you go for that ad out of all those other ones that you've even saw? Like, sometimes they're almost gimmicks.
And not to say that this wasn't, but I you know, when you have passion in your heart, you're always being nagged by your heart to complete mm-hmm. what God whispered in there. So I was still flying at the time, and I'm like, okay, this is in there, but how do I get from what you planted in there to that overall outcome? And I picked up the article, and it was very, very small. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. Mm-hmm. I'm not in California. Yes. So it was almost like, God, seriously? So I picked up this paper, and there was a very small ad in there that said, movieworksnow.com, would you like to be an extra in a movie? And I figured I have to start somewhere. So this is the place because it's presented before me. So I went there and applied and got headshots and did everything that they told me that I needed to do. However, that just didn't work out.
Really? No. Okay. Tell us about Leather and Iron, and did you have a role in that movie?
Oh, Cassie, now you're going to have to make me go back and renig on my statement I just made.
Goodness.
Because, actually, Leather and Iron did come from MovieWorks.com,
okay.
Not now.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. So you're making me go back in
okay.
history. Good.
Okay.
Yes, I got that role from MovieWorks Now,
mm-hmm.
and I was an extra.
Oh,
just
cool.
Like the ad said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know why, but I was very fortunate to meet director James Archer.
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous man. Oh, by the way, he has passed away. He was a very viable man in the community. He did a full feature film. I suppose he saw the passion in my heart and invited me back several times just to watch, to see what goes on. And we maintain this beautiful friendship. I watched his career. He followed mine. We never really, after the movie, ever did anything in the work sense again, but in life sense, we did. And again, I watched and emulated from him, mm-hmm. as I did Ed Beauvais. And he taught me a lot. And if it's not happening, you make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what both of these gentlemen taught me.
That's
so
amazing.
That's how I got into Leather and Iron, and yes, I was just an extra.
What was it like being an extra? You're just watching everybody else.
Oh, being an extra is phenomenal. You have to start there
mm-hmm.
because to learn all phases of filmmaking, that's the gift. Embrace it, because that is where you get your education. It's like going to film school.
Well, let's see. Just let's get a little question in before we have to go. So have you done any, like you said, you haven't done any movies with Leather and Iron with him, but you took life lessons, and those obviously got you more and more roles.
Mm-hmm.
So what is one thing that he really taught you to bring on to your next film?
The passion.
The passion.
Absolutely.
Which goes back to your quote, films, we're passionate about art.
Yes.
So let's take a break. I'm Cassie Frazier. Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go, on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Do you believe in the supernatural? Well, some do and some don't, which is why Beyond the Third Dimension looks at both sides. You have one host who believes in ghosts, while the other can't think of anything more ridiculous. Put them together and you get some great discussion and some real discoveries and exploration of the paranormal, and then some. Tune in to Beyond the Third Dimension, airing Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. And try not to be afraid of things that go bump in the night.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media.
Can you keep up? Kids face very tough and very real issues every single day. It can be bad. It can be ugly. Now there's something good that can help. Tune in to The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll discuss the issues and provide solutions and connections to solutions that you will be able to use. Our show goes right to the heart of today's kids and beyond. Your parents will probably want to listen in too. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly airs Mondays at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern on Voice America Kids. You just love your pets. But sometimes they can get to be a handful. And just when you think you have them under control, that's when things get, well, crazy. For help, tune in to Paws Around the World. You'll get the inside secrets on keeping your pet the friend it's supposed to be, along with stories to keep you warm and fuzzy. Listen Fridays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
This is Runway Role Models, a look at people who are making a difference now and setting an example for our future. Now, back to our show.
Thank you. Welcome back to the program on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Cassie Frazier here with the one and only Kimberly. So we're going to elaborate on your career. So I wrote, or I saw in the article for my Tech Life magazine, that your first acting job was to scream. What was all that about? And tell us everything that went with it.
Okay. While I was pursuing my acting career, I had to work because you have bills to pay. So I took on a bartending job. And while I was at work one day, I saw this poster on the wall. And it was from producer Drew O'Kane. And he was filming another full feature film in Arizona called The 49th Line. And all the roles were posted on there, and I had to work that day. So I was like, wow, this is just incredibly amazing. This film is coming to me, and I have to audition. But I also needed the money, and I couldn't take time off work. So when he came to the bar, and all there were at least 100 actors all waiting to audition, and I'm serving them all. And so wanting to be on the other side of the bar, I talked to the owner of the bar. I asked her if it was possible if I could have a moment to audition. And she said that would be great, that someone would jump in. And I was so excited, and I watched everybody do their thing. I was the very last person because I was serving people. I had to do quickly, and I had to make a big impression really fast. Mm-hmm. I stood in front of four people that were holding the auditions, including the director, and it was for a biker chick. It was a third credit billing in the movie. I didn't know that at the time. And the director looked at me. He gave me a couple of lines. I don't even really remember that part of it at all, but then he said something to me. Do you know how to scream? Which is kind of an odd question to ask somebody.
Right.
And in my mind, I'm thinking, when did I ever scream? So thinking that I didn't know how to scream, I again prayed. I do that with everything. Before I do anything, I pray about it. I ask God to just come through me. And I closed my eyes and I went for it. Oh my goodness. When I was done and I opened my eyes, it looked like the four people in front of me, all their hair was going like this.
Oh my goodness.
And all 100 actors in the bar, everybody clapped. There was like dead silence, and then there was this applause. And I was totally amazed. I didn't get the role.
Oh my goodness.
But somehow I got asked to go to the restaurant to meet the director so he could let me down, tell mm-hmm. me that I guess my age wasn't appropriate enough. I was maybe a little bit too old for the role. And when he was sitting there telling me that I couldn't have the role, I told him I needed it. And he had to give it to me, that he didn't have a choice.
Oh, my goodness.
And he agreed. Yeah. So I ended up getting the role. Unfortunately, that film is still sitting in the can. It has not seen the light of day yet. I don't know if it will. It may be behind its time now because that was in 2005.
Oh, okay.
And ironically, I did get a call last week that it is completed, so I don't know if there'd be any interest. I really hope that there would, because four of the talents in there, Dana McKillop, Clore Rowland, myself, and Michael Harrelson, we are all still very active in the community. Actually, Dana McKillop has gone to L.A., her and her husband. But Michael, Clore, and I are still here, and we're still filming today.
That's amazing. That's so cool.
And we're very wonderful friends also.
That's so cool.
Tell us about A3F Almost Famous Film Festival.
My favorite festival in the entire world. And I have been entering since 2006. Right after we got done with the 49th Line, director Drew O'Kane founded this festival in Arizona, which excited me beyond anything because, wow, here we go. We actually have something to do. And we entered. There were 64 teams that year in 2006 that entered. Clore Rowland, who was in the 49th Line with me, and Dana McKillop and Drew O'Kane, we got together. We decided to go ahead and enter. We did a film short called The Prosthetic Medic. Very cute, campy comedy. We went on to win 3 out of 5 awards out of 64 teams, one of them being Best Overall Acting. We were thrilled. And I have entered the A3F since. It's run by Jay Statz. He also works closely and with Jason Francois, Michelle Meyer, I hope I pronounce her name right. They are continuing now still. I think this is their 7th year or 8th year. I'm entering again in February.
Cool.
Because it's an inspiration. They helped me get to where I'm at. I want to enter to encourage other people, filmmakers, actors, writers, directors with dreams. And never forget where you came from.
Right.
The people that helped you, always, always support them. Everybody that you meet in your pathway to where you're going is your golden link to your success. That relationship might not always work out. However, they helped you get to where you're sitting today. So you don't have to necessarily be with them, but you have to acknowledge that that's how you got there. So the A3F for me is one of my golden links, and as long as they're around, I will be entering and encouraging other people to enter. February 18th is their 48-hour film challenge, and I will be a participant.
So when you first walked into the film festival, were you expecting any awards at all for anything, or were you just going just to see what it was all about?
I wanted the director to win Best Film because I knew Drew's film probably would never see the light of day. I just really wanted him to win an award, and I was praying for him to win the Best Film. However, he did not. We did as actors.
Oh, goodness.
I was very disappointed for that, but I, for myself, no. I had no idea. And when that happened, there are no words.
Did you have to say a speech or anything, or did you accept your award and sort of get off the stage?
Yeah, because, you know, I was still pretty new, and there were, you know, many, many people, and we just took our award and went happily on our way.
That's so cool. Okay. Do you like acting or producing movies more?
I love acting. What got me into producing is the fact that if there is no work out there, don't complain about it. Create it. And for the type that I look like, there's very little roles out there. I realize that this might not be something that's going to work for me, so I'm going to have to create my own. And that's where the production end of it came in. I decided to make my own movie, and what that entails is you have to find your own writer, you have to find your own director, your own editor, your own score, your own cast, your own crew. And you have to build a family of believers along with you. And so producing is very difficult, and it's chancy because however it can be done. But the love in my heart is the acting, mm-hmm. because it allows you to show the world who you are deep inside. Everything that's ever happened to you comes out. And the audience, if you come from passion, they will be fixated on you because you expose every emotion mm-hmm. in your body.
You guys have no idea, because I actually got to personally work with Kimber on one of the films, Love a la Carte, and you were amazing, phenomenal. I had to play this extra. I was the obnoxious dancer. And it was freezing out, and I was in this dance costume, and I'm freezing, and I have this huge jacket over me. And Kimber's just like, Cassie, whenever you're done with the set, get that jacket right back on you, and then take it off and get in your mode. You have to really feel the character. And that was an amazing advice that you've given me, and I thank you so much for even allowing me to go on the set and watch you do your center stage.
Thank you, and you were so wonderful that night, and I will tell everybody out there, you are filled with passion, because it was very, very, very cold, and you were standing there in your bare feet, mm-hmm. and you reminded me a lot of me, because for the 49th line, I so wanted to impress the director that I laid on this wooden bridge with just a tank top and blue jeans on. It was 10 degrees out in Colorado.
Wow.
I developed hypothermia.
Oh, my goodness.
And I didn't have that person there to say, it's okay to take care of yourself while the camera is not running. Mm-hmm. So you're very passionate because you did what you did, and mm-hmm. you were phenomenal in Love a la Carte also.
Thank you. So tell us a little bit about Love a la Carte.
Love a la Carte is being directed by the most amazing director, mm-hmm. Tim McSpadden. Another mentor in my life that is teaching me amazing things. He's completely a one-man band. He wrote it, he's directing it, producing it, casting it. He is just incredible, and he uses what is presented before him to create this film. We're all very, very excited. It's coming out in May of 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And it stars myself, Aaron Ginn Forsberg.
I love Aaron.
Oh, Aaron.
He's
is
a great mentor, too.
Yes, he is. And he just fell in love with you. And also Shauna May. And there are many, many, I mean, if I started to name them all, amazing actors who are all, you know, part of this wonderful, wonderful community. And Tim utilized as many as he possibly could.
Mm-hmm. And he had a mariachi band there, and a juggler, and only if you could see the work that this man has put out, it's amazing.
It is, and so please do watch it.
Yes, definitely. Thank you. Let's take a break. I'm Cassie Frazier. Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
The Terrence Rogers Show will take the world by storm. The topics are sometimes newsworthy, sometimes personal, as we explore fashion, entertainment, art, and more. Host Terrence Rogers has seen a lot of life experience in his few years of life. It's this experience that allows him to bring a fresh perspective to the table, and he holds nothing back. Tune in to The Terrence Rogers Show every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Kids channel. You'll laugh, cry, and most importantly, this show will reach out and touch your life.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand. All from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
What is Take Two? Take two crazy hosts, put them in front of two microphones, and use your two ears to enjoy the fun. Times two. Take Two. We'll go back, way back, to the favorite TV shows of our childhood. Your parents' childhood. No.
Try again, Chris. Take two.
We'll take you back to the favorite TV shows of our generation, past and present, and apply them to what's going on in our own lives. Trust us, it'll be a blast. Tune in to Take Two every Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Kids channel. There is so much going on in the tech field. The Technology Show is here to sort it all out so that you know exactly what you need to get and what you should avoid. In this age of cell phones and text messaging and new discoveries every single day, you need to be informed. We'll bring you previews of new products, technology news, and help you make the right decision when you are out there buying that new MP3 player, cell phone, or mobile device. Don't do a thing until you've tuned in to The Technology Show, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, on Voice America Kids. What are some of the issues that kids face every day? You'll find out when you tune into the appropriately named Today's Kids. Your hosts are here to open the doors to a forum of all kinds of issues. Nothing is off the table here, and because it's on the Voice America Kids channel, you know you're getting a kid's perspective. Tune in every Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time for Today's Kids. Your hosts will lead this forum of engaging conversation on Voice America Kids.
Want to know what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network host? How about what's new with our network? Make sure you check out the iRadio blog, a look at what's hot at Voice America and beyond. Visit www.iradioblog.com today. Get the inside scoop on every channel on our network, including breaking news, featured guests, blog posts from our hosts, and much more. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter for even more inside action. Visit iradioblog.com today and stay connected.
We didn't invent Kid Talk, we perfected it, and at a very young age. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
This is Runway Role Models, a look at people who are making a difference now and setting an example for our future. Now, back to our show.
Thank you. Welcome back to the program on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Cassie Frazier with Kimberly. What is coming up for your future? What is your future looking like?
Very exciting, and I'm sharing this with you. I'm doing two film shorts, staying current in my work. One of them on for the A3F, Almost Famous Film Festival, on February 18th, and I was asked to direct a film short, I must say. It's called Questions. And also, I am working on a full feature film, producer, lead actress, and it's called Vroom. And Vroom was created as a film short, which, again, should have never happened, because the card reader ate 5 minutes of a five-minute film. And the director called and told me that, Kimber, probably this isn't going to work out for you. And I told him, well, you have to please edit it, because again, when you pray about your work before you do it, you must believe God can only do so much. Mm-hmm. He can only make so much happen for you. The rest of it is up to you, because you have to believe. So when you pray before your project and you believe, even if things go wrong, you still must complete what you started out to do, because God never takes you halfway. Mm-hmm. And knowing that knowledge, I asked Jason to please give me the work. Whether it's good or bad, let's complete it, give it to me, and let's see what we can do. And it went on to many festivals, won awards everywhere it went. And I can't believe I'm going to say this, but being blonde,
oh my goodness.
I took the film short, and I thought I was sending it to the state of California, because the initials were CA on the address. Mm-hmm. But here, in fact, it was Canada.
Oh, my goodness.
So strictly by default, the mm-hmm. film ended up being selected for a festival in Canada, which now puts the film in that international scope. Mm-hmm. And when that happened, I realized, well, actually, we all realized that there's something very special about this film because of all the things that happened. It also was accepted into the Phoenix Comic-Con Film Festival, which really catapulted my career because, again, should have never mm-hmm. happened. The film was asked to have it placed in their festival, and the business card was given to a gentleman who couldn't find it, and he told me about it. So I researched every person that was involved with the Phoenix Comic Con to find that gentleman. His name is Todd Hutchings. He, months later, I found him. Mm-hmm. He was still interested. He took the film. I went to Comic-Con, watched it play. There was an awards ceremony afterwards, and I went home. And my husband said, "Aren't you going to stay for the awards ceremony?" And I said, "Oh, my gosh, this is an international film festival. Right. There is no way in this planet I'm going to win anything." Mm-hmm. Went to bed that night, was watching the Golden Globes, went downstairs to get something to drink. It was 11 p.m. My phone rang, and it was Todd Hutchings telling me that I won Best Actor at Actor slash Actress at Phoenix Comic Con.
Wow, that's amazing.
I started screaming and crying, and my husband doesn't know what's going on. He comes downstairs, and he goes, "You've been watching too many award ceremonies." Because I was going, "I won!
Yeah.
I won!" So we realized that Vroom has a great amount of potential, and we are in the process of pre-production right now. And it is going to be directed by Jason Francois. It was written by Don Roth, an award-winning writer and published author out of Seattle.
That's amazing. You're filled with amazing stories. Like, everything God gives you, he puts in your hands, and he makes it an incredible story.
Well, that's because he's amazing. Mm-hmm. We have to, like I said, you have to believe. He will provide, but your part of it is to believe. So for anybody listening, if you've started something, please continue it, complete it, because you don't know what the outcome of that something is. And if you pray about it beforehand, mm-hmm. you cannot fail. It's not a possibility mm-hmm. with God at the realm.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for sharing your whole life stories with me. Every single story is amazing. I'm in awe every time I talk to you. So we're going to play a little game, if that's all right with you.
Okay.
It's called Cassie's This or That. I'm going to give you two things. You have to tell me which one you would prefer. You don't have to say why, because we'd probably go on for hours. Mm-hmm. And Coke or Pepsi?
I drink water.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I'm kidding. Pepsi.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, I like Coke. So, Skittles or M&M's?
Both.
Both? You have to pick one, not both.
I'm a Libra.
No. Oh, my gosh.
Skittles.
Skittles. Okay, good, because I love Skittles, too. Okay, L.A. or New York?
New York.
Oh, my goodness. I never get to travel to New York. I've only been to L.A. and Pennsylvania.
I'm going to have to take you there, Cassie.
Okay. You can fly with me. I'll be so scared, and you'll be the person who will calm me down.
Yeah, I used to have 72-hour layovers there, and it's a fascinating city. Fascinating.
I want to go to Times Square. I think that would be so cool.
It's beautiful. And when we did Love a la Carte, that carriage ride the scene that you watched, that is New York.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool.
So we'll have to go on a carriage ride
mm-hmm,
together.
Definitely.
Okay.
So grocery shopping or fashion shopping?
Grocery shopping.
Are you serious? Mm-hmm. Oh my, why?
I don't have a fashion sense.
Okay, see ya. I love
But I can find a cheap deal at the store.
Oh my goodness. I could never grocery shop, especially when I'm hungry and I go in the grocery store, everything looks good to me. I can't choose, you know, what type of chips I want. I want everything. So, cheesecake or chocolate cake?
Chocolate cake.
Yeah, me too.
Yes.
I've never had cheesecake before.
Oh, well, that's another thing we're going to have to do
mm-hmm.
together.
In New York.
Yes.
On our carriage ride.
Yes. Ah, you can see it now.
Uh-huh. Okay, Italian food or Mexican food?
Italian food.
Good. I love Italian food. Mm-hmm. And I'm Italian myself, so I'll cook you something.
Okay.
Black or white?
White.
White. I don't know which one I prefer. Probably black because, like, the seasons, you know, everything goes with black, so you can mix and match. Alrighty, Halloween or Christmas?
Christmas.
I love Christmas, too. I love mm-hmm. Christmas songs, everything about Christmas. I wish it would snow here once in a while. It's only been, like, 50 degrees here. That's our snow. Okay, eating in or eating out?
Eating in.
Eating in. I love eating mm-hmm. in. My mom makes the best food in the world.
It's more intimate.
Mm-hmm. She makes so many different types of foods every day. She's so creative. I have five of the siblings, and she makes something different every single day.
Well, you must emulate your mom because she's amazing, and mm-hmm. so are you.
Thank you so much. Alrighty, McDonald's or Burger King?
McDonald's.
I know, I love McDonald's.
Mickey D's.
Yeah, that's what I call it. Mickey D's. Alrighty, lip gloss or lipstick?
Lip gloss.
Oh, me too.
Yes.
I love
lip gloss. A woman's necessity.
Yes. My mom, she loves lipstick, and I'm just like, you have to have lip gloss. That completes your look. There's nothing different. Okay. Dior or Chanel?
Dior.
Dior. I love Dior, too. All right. A trolley cart or a subway train?
Trolley cart.
Are they fun? I've never been on one before.
Me either.
Really?
But they're romantic.
They look really cute, too. So I want to ride on one. They look so much fun.
Well, then we're going to have to go to San Francisco.
There you go. And then we can ride one together. Casual or formal?
Casual.
Casual. If mm-hmm. I could dress formal, I would do it every single day.
Oh, wow.
Like red carpets. That's me.
Well, then you'll have to put my fashions together.
Okay, there you go. I'll help you go fashion shopping since you only know how to grocery shop. Okay, bouquet of roses or a bouquet of mixed flowers?
A bouquet of mixed flowers.
You do? Mm-hmm. Me too. I actually just saw in the store they had blue flowers, orange flowers. They were like
and they're
daisies.
Beautiful.
They were so cute. I wanted some, but we had to come here. Mom was like, you can get them afterwards. I was like, oh, okay.
And I must share that you brought me a beautiful mm-hmm, flower. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Anything for you, Kimber. Okay, so Big Bird or Elmo?
Big Bird.
Oh, my goodness. I love Elmo. Elmo's my guy.
Well, there's a generation gap there, so.
Okay. High heels or flats?
High heels.
Me too.
Yes.
I love high heels. I'm a total shoe person. I love every single type of shoe, every color. Mm-hmm. I even have some that have leopard print on them with big, huge bows.
Now I know where to borrow shoes
from. There
you
go. What size are you?
7.
Oh, my goodness, me too.
Okay, we're in.
Yep, we can share shoes together. That way, when we're in New York, we don't have to worry about bringing
too many
shoes.
I don't have to shop.
Yep, there you go. Alrighty. So, diamonds or pearls?
Diamonds.
Diamonds, me too. Mm-hmm. I love diamonds. Like, when they always have those commercials on TV about like the jewelers, oh my goodness, I'm like, oh, I want that one. And I was like, yeah, when you get married, Cassie, you can have them.
She's right.
Yeah. Okay, so tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Mm-hmm. I've never drinking tea before.
Well, you have to. Actually, I do drink both. I drink tea before I go to bed. It's wonderfully soothing. Chamomile, love it.
Goodness.
With honey.
Yeah, see, you have to teach
my
me.
My honey makes it for me every night.
Oh, my
night.
Goodness. That's so cute. Okay, so I know you're a flight attendant, so you ask people, peanuts or pretzels?
Peanuts.
Peanuts, really? I love pretzels. I don't think I could eat peanuts. Okay, so motorcycles or sports cars?
Sports cars.
Really? I thought you would have said motorcycles because of your film that you were doing.
I was on one once in Greece and scared me.
Really?
Because we were coming down the mountain that Grace Kelly died on a motorcycle.
Oh, my goodness. Nope. Okay.
I'm all good.
Yeah. Okay, so PC or Mac?
Mac.
Me too.
Yes.
Love Macs.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And then when I switched to PC... to a Mac, I'm so confused. It's like a whole new world with that Mac. All right, so let's choose one more. Obviously, Steelers or Packers.
Oh, come on, girl.
I know.
I'm from Pittsburgh. Go Steelers.
There you go. I'm going for the Steelers, too, so we can sit together and watch the game. Alrighty, thanks so much for joining us. You have been listening to Runway Role Models. I am Cassie Frazier, and this is Voice America Kids.
Thanks again for tuning in to Runway Role Models on the Voice America Kids channel. Be sure to come back for more stories of inspiration next week at the same time. We'll see you then.
The longer you listen, the later it gets. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
The future of online TV is here. View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv today.